Please be seated. Today, thank you, Livingstone. Awesome. Today, I will seek the indulgence of the person sitting next to you. If you can please tell them, just for a few minutes, if you can cease all movement, I ask the children to stay in for a purpose. Just ask them, please, are you able to? Just sit still under the word for about 20, 25 minutes. If it goes off, it goes off. But I intend to just share with you this afternoon, because anytime God is about to propel us to the next level, He speaks clearly to us, and first to myself, to instruct what to do. As we've been waiting on God for a while, He said to me this morning, speak just in this manner, but speak to the people about selflessness. For all the revelations that I've shared with you, without the power of selflessness, it won't work. All the revelation that everybody else has shared with you all through the Revelation Week, and especially those who are selfless enough to tune in, without these, it's not going to work. So I want to speak simply to you this morning. We've heard about sowing. We've heard about giving. I announced to you that your giving is what rattles the world. They don't know how, after all this attack, you are still standing and your standard is not reducing. You have people sneaking into the church to record fake stuff. Cowards. You must be a coward to be writing nonsense and not be able to ask, can I just ask questions? Coward. But then, that's also a level of growth. But that's not our focus this morning. So, I started out life because I'm a pastor's kid. And I want to take you back to as much and as far behind as I can remember of my life. Overnight tonight, my dad was standing with me wearing the same clothes. Of course, not the jeans and the Balmain. Not the ripped jeans. No, he wasn't. He was putting on black. A colorless black. I had one shirt like that with gold button. Shut up. Have you taken it? No, you haven't. We turn to worms. I was wearing the same clothes, and then I knew that today is not just prophetic, it is apostolic, and it's for somebody. I thought that person would say amen. One person did. So I want to remember, I feel the Lord wants me to take you as far back. And why did I ask the children to stay? I heard the news, and maybe the lady is here, pregnant at 14. I thought that's my daughter's double age. It's unacceptable. Unacceptable does not mean to condemn the person. No, by all means, in fact, if anything, we must be the house that accommodates such people when they've made mistakes. Thank you for that. They must have a shelter. And that shelter is not to encourage it. That shelter is to say, you see this seed just coming. He cannot or she cannot go and get pregnant or impregnate someone to at 10. Maybe it's going to go to 10. We don't know where the devil is going with this. It just keeps going more and more. America is getting worse. I always run into this thing. America is getting worse and worse as their music, worship, gospel music is getting better and better. Exactly. How does that even correlate? Because the worship music is limited to the church people. So there is nothing. That's how you will know it's not God in it. That's how you know it's not God. Because God does not reach out to his people. He reaches out to his people beyond the walls. Someone asked me, how is your discipleship class? I said, why don't you ask me, how is your soul winning? Because am I going to be discipling chairs or you? I said, madam, look at you. You've been in church now past 2 years, not one soul in church, one. And if we look at life, guys, I'm talking to you this morning, and I'm going to contain myself just to talk, not to get into any exciting preaching mode, because I know exactly why my dad stood by me. We are mourning the death of death in this generation, so that life can rise in this generation. Because we will need it, you know. The world has given up on us, guys. The world has given up on a generation. The church has given up completely. They are praying, and I want you to know that our warfare is not against church. They are praying. Each time I go to adult church, many of them stop me and they say, look, we'll always follow you, we love you, and we're praying for you. So it's not against adults. It's against the spirit of religion. Again, one of the largest churches called me this week and said this. I said, step down. Last week, I was there for an hour talking about what you should do. They said, sir, you want to hear? Step down. Stop preaching. You don't have a 25-year-old, no 30. So just step down. End of story. Forget Dr. This, Dr. That, Dr. This, Dr. That. Just step down. You don't have to sin before you step down, because you will eventually sin. You're burning out yourself on a daily basis. You're trying to keep the 3,000 people you have by all means possible. But that's not my G. So now, I grew up in a pastor's home, like many of you, and I loved God. This is the story I'm going to share with you. Now I'm going to wrap it up with the spirit of selflessness. And I loved God. God knows my heart. I loved God so much that from the day one that I can remember, I knew that even though the church setting was good and great, very holy people will also love God, but there is a shortage of knowledge. If there is a shortage of knowledge, what happens is we will cut off many people. They will become religious. But you see, these things that I'm articulating to you, I didn't know these words then. It just made me search the word. And so I began to read the Bible. I will read 40 chapters. I'll read 20 chapters. I'll pray. I'll fast. That's what I was doing at a young age. I'll pray. I'll fast. I'll do all manner of things. Because we also heard about people who had encounters with God, like Jesus appeared to them and all that, and that never happened to me. And I think Pastor Sam said it intelligently yesterday. Imagine someone getting offended because they didn't fall under the anointing. I said, why? Just fall. Yeah, if it's that much of a problem, just run to the front and just boom. But I know why they're offended. They are probably thinking, why is God not touching me? Or Pastor Sam said it powerfully yesterday. It's like the things that we learned in the world. If our boyfriend or girlfriend is moving in mad, we begin to say, you know, it's moving mad. So we expect God to move on us in a certain way. And if it's not moving that way, it's moving mad. And why did you say your boyfriend was moving mad? You just watched a soap opera. So you're comparing it. I've had a wife fight the husband because he didn't bring flour. Said, but did he bring pounded yam? Libra dos Abraham de Likatara. No, the person is not around. Malia tus cabra dosa malika toso pregetishka bayakata. No, it's not in this church. Come on, guys. Guys, which one is most important, flour or pounded yam? Jollof rice or flour verse? What? Stay with me now, please. I want to steer up this generation to realize. So they said that depression and suicide reached all high rate since 2011. People just decide to die. I'll tell you why in a moment. Because I needed to dig scriptures. Because health and safety, safeguard, all these people can talk all they like. There is nothing new that they are saying. It's the same thing. It's insanity, as they say, to keep trying the same method, right? Hoping for a different outcome. That's what the world does. But it's not because of them. They are stopped. They don't know what to do anymore. So I loved God. I started to read scriptures. I just knew something is not adding up now. That doesn't make the church wrong. It's just that what is released is limited in proportion to what the leader wants. No. It's limited by the proportion of what the leader wants. Everything you will get in life will be according to the proportion of your thirst or hunger. You're not going to get beyond what you want. So as a child, I wanted a lot. I wanted to know God. And I was listening to sermons. And you know, the height of sermon when I was growing up in church is repentance. Until one day as a child, I read in my scripture, the Bible says that I'm not laying the foundation of dead works. Again, it said there is this repetition of repentance over and over and over again, laying the same foundation. And the church becomes caged in. But I was looking for something. So I will speak as a child. I will speak against what I heard today because I'm going to go back into scriptures and find out, but why is this not happening? Da, 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 da. And I was growing like that. And I believe that at a young age, I had so much favor with God, so much anointing. We started a children fellowship. After that, we started a teenager fellowship. And I wasn't going to have a teenager's fellowship that is just what you guys call 3G now. I wasn't going to have one that is just be good children. I wanted power. From that age, I wanted power, and sometimes I will gather all these teenagers, and I will, just like I'm preaching to you now, I'm going to preach all day. And now I'm asking myself, what was I saying? I wish it was recorded, but there were no recorders. I will preach all day when we're only on holidays, and we'll start laying hands in the evening. A day the power of God came so powerfully, that semi-teenager then, child teenager, everybody there fell under the anointing and I was standing saying, who next now? Like everybody is gone, no more bodies to drop. But I still knew that there was something else. I wanted power, I wanted the revelation of God, I wanted to know God. There's something in me desiring God, and then all of a sudden the story changes. All of a sudden, I went to university and everything changed from there. All of a sudden, there was a question, a demand from life. what you will choose. And I had to choose the opposite because, you know why? Everything, I'm going somewhere, stay with me. Everything that I was looking for, as much as I read scriptures and saw these things, I still did not get it. So I think what came to me next was maybe it's in something else, like many of you today, thinking maybe it's in hard work. Maybe I could build a company. You won't build nothing. Except the Lord builds it. Anyway, I wasn't trying to build a company or anything. You know what I wanted? Then, now I can begin to put it in words. Number one was God. It is called relevance. I want you to stay with me. Your quest for relevance is not carnal. As far as the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the animals of the earth are concerned, Adam must be relevant. If Adam does not gain that relevance, Adam will be looking for something. And God planned it for him to have it. It's just that he let Eve push them to get it ahead of time. He would have discovered it by revelation. I was looking for relevance. Looking for relevance made me join all manner of groups. I can't say cult anymore because there are silly people who say, oh yeah, so it's down the road. It was called Headline Newspaper, former cult guy. Whereas what we call cult is far from cult. There's no drinking of blood. It's just gang. And so, I look for relevance in these things. And of course, you know, there is no, any insignificant person will need alcohol to make them significant. I went into alcohol. Oh my God, I could drink like a fish. And when others are collapsing, I'm looking at them saying, what have you drunk? Like, because you know drugs and alcohol has to do with your mental capacity. I'm going somewhere. I hope you're staying with me. The mistake many of you make is you wake up at the latter part of the word. Then you're disjointed from the first one. The first one you say, oh yeah, oh wow, drinking. Oh, he's sharing a testimony. Then when you go eat with a point, you say, wow. But you've missed the real thing that traced it down. So stay with me. I'm going to make a call in a moment. And so I went through all that for about 9 years, isn't it? 9 years of what I would call waste. 9 years of doing everything that people do in those 9 years, though. I wish there was one lesson I knew. That would have been one. No matter what you do, never miss church. It doesn't matter. My brother told me that he would have forgotten. He told me one day, I was an interpreter for my dad, and I think I came late from uni to interpret. Was dead drunk. And he said, I don't care what you do, just make sure you are there for service. Hey, did you mark that word now? No, what word? What word? Service. Of course, if you're singing, don't come drunk. That would not be nice. The pastor just said, whatever I do, okay, I'm leading worship tomorrow. No, what would happen to you is that you won't drop dead on the altar. You will get home. No, it's a dangerous place. I'm sorry. It's very dangerous. But on a serious note now, of course you won't drop dead. It's like those angels. So now, I've lived all my life like this. Now, I wasn't a tough gang guy. I think I was a bit more sensible than knife and guns. I never carried all those things. I wasn't. I was smarter. It doesn't exonerate me because we propelled others to do it. And they were hoping that we're coming to the battlefield. And once they are propelled and they are gone fighting, I'm just somewhere watching a movie, like 3 hours away. But you know, I was looking for something. Let's fast forward many years ahead. I see people who have worked all their lives another color, meaning they have more opportunity than us, in their 60s, coming to us for opportunities, and they've done well with life. You live in the best part of the world. You drive the best car. Nothing is particularly wrong with your marriage, but you're still looking for something, and you're sitting with a guy who just came some years ago saying, oh, what can we do together? First thing that I read is he's looking for something. He thinks he's in money. He's looking for significance. Money can never give it. Only Adam has that significance in his hand. When Adam died, he took it with him. Jesus needed to go collect it. So when he went to hell, the Bible says he held captivity captive. A big battle happened in hell. He took the force that Adam was wearing on him, because when he went down with the blessing. He had to go there, and the only way there is death. The only way to get you life, my brother, Kwams, the only way to get you life was through death. And if it doesn't die, what man is looking for will remain in the hand of Satan. And guess what Satan will do? He will always tantalize man. And he will say, this is the God you're looking for. Come, Obi. He would say, come get it, face me. The more I move near, you move back. Hold it high, like you are tantalizing me. No, don't hide it. A man will continue to look for this, and immediately says, I'm about to do a deal. Things are working out now. It's not going to disappear from his eyes, from his face. You are making me catch it, my guy. You are not a real Satan. Each time, come. Okay, they said, you speak it. Come, PK. He was even happy to come. Normally, people would say, no. This man will come to him and say, don't worry, together we can attain it. That's his business partner. You know, the guy you met and you came back home to share testimony and say, wow, you know, I think something is going to happen. That's this man. Let's run now. You see, this guy, by the time he reaches halfway, he goes away. But it will never, do you know why he won't remove it from your face? It is God's mandate that the tree of life must always be in the face of Adam and Eve. So when Satan took that space, he's going to have it there, and it will take death. Sit down. It will take death for Jesus to go hold it. Now, if you're going to get it in Jesus, how do you get it? Because you know, when Jesus appeared to his disciples, what did he tell them? He said, behold, all power that Adam lost. Two powers. He said, all the power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Yes? Talk to me now, Spagnish. All power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. The power Adam had on earth was dominion. The power he had in heaven was fellowship. Okay, I'll say it again. On earth, Adam had the blessing. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and everything that creeps on the earth. That's his power on earth. His power in heaven was God coming in the cool of the day. Fellowship was his heavenly power. If he has fellowship, he has the two power. When Jesus came, when he was living after death and resurrection, he said, "Behold, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Then he gives one instruction. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all men. So anyway, I was looking for something, significance. I was looking for that power. I can't find it. I thought I could get it in church. It wasn't there because they also don't understand it. I told you on Periscope yesterday, those of you who have not given up on Periscope, most of you have. The word is too much. So you say, I've got to go look for Adam myself. Now, I told you yesterday, the preacher preaching yesterday said, when he started the preaching in the funeral, he said, why do we go to church? He said, why is church important? And people started to give all manner of answers. As usual, and I don't blame the people that are giving the answers, they don't know. Someone said to manifest and put on the image of Christ. I said on Sunday. So many Christ will be sitting down, will be threatening each other. Another one said all manner of things. Then the preacher said, we are all wrong. I said, hit me with music, man. Let me hear it. He hit me with music. Bob Marley, many of you don't know him. Let me hear it. Then he said, we go to church to graduate. I said, wow, this is going to be mad word. I said, I'm eager now because that's a new dimension. But it was a funeral service. He said, so mama blah, blah, blah has graduated. Meaning she's dead now. So we're just coming here to die. Yeah, someone said, oh, come and die. I think what he was trying to say is that church or the word of God prepares us for life after death. Someone said, many people would then drop out. Said, no, I'm not going every Sunday to just travel down from everywhere to go and die. Then the guy said, when will you graduate? I said, ask them, well, not me. I'm still young. I'm not in your class, guy. I'm not graduating. He said, there will be a time that the class, like if you get to form six, over. I said, I will remain in form one. I will repeat this class like 5 billion years. It doesn't make much meaning, does it? I was looking for significance, and that's what we're all looking for. A man is still walking in his old age because of significance. Anyway, I did all that in uni, did all that and whatever else. I still know, because you see, there's something about God's word that when it comes in, you, it never leaves. If you understand, you know, I was driving down or being driven down the other day, and it dawned on me. I said, thank God for the days that I read a lot of Bible verses. The one you're reading now, and some of you are leaving the page. It only means you're not going anywhere. Time will come again, you will read it one day. When you read it, you'll start making £500 a month. You will start from where you are supposed to be. So I said, thank God. Because now sometimes God is speaking and I can join those scriptures. Anyway, fast forward now. Came here 2005. And I think the best thing that happened to me was solitary. Solitary means that the life I knew, the people that I knew, and the people that we hung around and spoke and do all those things were nowhere. Even though I quickly located a weed dealer, definitely not PK. The other day, I think someone was suffering from drug overuse or abuse or had gone through drug issues all his life. And my mind said, I wonder if PK was the one selling drugs to this guy. My mind just played into it. Was. Solitary happened to me. And that solitary, you begin to think. I think the reason why people don't get far in life is they have many people around them. By the time they begin to isolate themselves, they are not isolating. Age is just editing people off. Everybody is going their way. It's not an intentional solitary confinement or refinement. It's not intentional. This afternoon when I make a call, or other times when we make calls, the Lord said to me, the biggest problem you can have in life is to, you know, when you can tell yourself what people are thinking or what people will think. If this happens, when people hear, this guy is in like 6 hours away, when he hears, they will then say, we have many people around us. Well, anyway, my solitary helped me, and one day, I knelt down and I remembered what I was as a child. I remember that after all these 9 years of chasing everything, I still haven't got it. 9 years of chasing it still. You look for it in women, you look for it in alcohol, you look for it in group, you look for it everywhere. You're chasing Adam. He's dead. Christ has taken him. He became the last Adam. And I started to cry to God. But you know, by this time, compared to who I was as a child, I was a child who corrected everybody doing wrong. I'd become the one doing the wrong that even the people I corrected could not imagine to do. No, that's laughable. That's terrible. They were not dare. So, because of that, and because of the kind of upbringing I have, we believed in holiness, and holiness is important. But holiness, the way I was taught, is when you've sinned, don't come to God. It will destroy your life. He already hates you. So we didn't know. I was crying, and I told you this story times and time again, and I'll keep saying it time and time again. And God said to me, I don't care what you've done, just serve me. This is the second time I'm mentioning service. He said, if you try to get rid of your habit, the habit will grow. If you serve me, the habit will disappear by itself. Now, I've never heard that in my life. No way in the world will you go to my dad's church and you will hear, serve, and habit will go. Huh? Maybe now. Serve what? Serve who? Can we serve the Lord in sin? And you see everybody doing it. They are lying. Then they will come crying. When they walk out, sin will double up. It's like sin gives them a handshake at the door and say, my guy, that was a good crying. You did it. Imagine sin congratulating you. You know the first time you committed a sin, how terrible it felt, right? How about the second time? You adjusted. Third time. God said, the more, I'm just sharing this morning. I feel this is the work God wants to do. Listen to this. He said, if you serve me, it is not until now that I realize something. Listen to this. If they serve and obey him, they will live their years in plenty and their days in pleasure. Now I realize that if you serve, I don't know how it will take care of your shortcomings, but it would have to, so that it can fulfill his word, saying that you will live your years in plenty. So it would have to sort out the issue of sin because of service. You didn't hear me. The word is already settled. And because that word is settled, This is how to beat the spirit of sin. You look at, they will live their years in plenty, and they unfortunately, for God, in quote, he did not put in that scripture if they also are holy. So I said, I get it now. So I will go serve. Either he will have to bless me with our holiness or make me holy to bless me. What I know for sure is that that word has to be done. Service. It reminds us this morning of when he called Noah. The Bible says, and Noah found grace. Look, if you don't have fault, you don't need grace. Let's start from Noah this morning. Do you hear what I just said? What is grace? Pastor Tammy, what is grace? What do you need grace for if you're a perfect man? If everything you've done in your life is great. But Noah found grace. Do you know how I know Noah had shortcomings? This guy, even after the flood, he started to mix all manner of things. Noah, what are you looking for? He didn't just start finding it. He didn't just start looking for it after the storm. But for what God wanted to do, for what God wanted to do in that generation, he had to find a man, hey, who can accommodate grace. Listen to me, this generation, God needs people that can house, accommodate. You know, many times we struggle to accommodate grace. You know that. We are trying to get up by our own effort. We are trying to reach where God wants by our own effort. And when we fall short, and I'm not encouraging shortfalling, but when we fall short, we feel inadequate. God says, do you have a room? Do you have a room for grace because of the reward of grace? It is the reward. So when he says serve, I said, God, what do you mean by service? What is the meaning of service? God said to me this morning, he said, have you been to a restaurant before? I said, yes, Lord. He said, then when you go into a restaurant, you go most times hungry. But you have money in your pocket. But you are looking for food. Let's forget about the chef in the kitchen. Let's talk about the waiter who waits on you. The moment that waiter sees you, he sees money. You have money, you are not his friend. The money you have to give her or him is in your pocket. I want to make a call soon. But you're not giving him or I any money unless, until she serves you. But your money has always been ready. I know you guys are good sewers. You like sewing. I don't think you walk into a restaurant to go and sew. Oh, I love this restaurant. I just came here to sew. No, I don't need service. You have your money in your pocket. You choose the restaurant based on your appetite. Huh? If they will obey and serve you, you will dip your hands in your pocket and then you will pay for the service or services rendered to you. If they obey and serve him. But the first thing, God was looking for a servant. He found Noah. God was not looking for an angel. God was not looking for a perfect person. God was not looking for a good father. God was looking for somebody who can wait on him in the restaurant. Guess what I realized happened to me in 2005? When I came here, God saw a generation. He saw an onion.
an Obi, a David, a Mimi, a Nana, a Dami, a Ganiat, a LaBelle, a Basukuti, a Pastor Mabinton, a Thelma. And he needs them. But he needs a servant. So what made me a servant? I was coming with all manner of uncleanness and self-guilt. And I've not heard the message of grace from anywhere. It said, what I will give you in exchange for your commitment to service is Adam. You will not grow into Adam. You will take on his form. How will you take up his form, sister? By the impartation of the Spirit. But when he spoke to me, life came into me. The first problem is, how can I smoke weed and still preach? I'm not encouraging that. It just said to me, you will not stop smoking weed if you don't preach. Because if I'm going to pay you, listen, holiness is not our seed to God, it's Him that makes us holy. Ah, He said there will be an highway in it. It shall be called the highway of holiness. Did you build the way? Our fight for holiness is an impartation of God's blessing. And in a moment, I'm going to call people to the altar who want to escape the flood. And He cannot give you better opportunity than this house. I told you before. And people look at Spark Nation and say, oh, in that church they do this. They don't do anything. God does everything. I began to cry as He preached the message of grace to me. I've never heard it before. I don't know it. And I wish to tell you that what happened was that I became so perfect 2 months after. No, I think it took another 3 years. But the power of God was constantly in manifestation. His power never stopped once. And you know, sometimes you hear this message, you still have fault, and you hear a message on YouTube saying, oh, you can be preaching and God is moving. Are you living in sin? Are you living in sin? And you know the scripture that will follow that is, many will come unto me saying, we did this in your name, and you will feel so guilty. But God was doing a work in me. It was going to take me to an highway called holiness. But it's not going to be without a struggle. He wanted me to rely on Him solely for my holiness. It's not relying on me for my holiness. It's not relying on me for my sanctification. But you know, many times that's what we think, right? If that gives you the license to sin, it means you were never born again. Never ever. You were not saved at all. If you had died before now, you would have found yourself in hell, even though you sing about Jesus. No, it propels you to desire. You know why we desire holiness? Because we want everything that is in His hand. And holiness is part of it. But it's not relying on you for that. I want to stop. So I began to pray and I began to see the power of God in manifestation. It taught us reliance on Him in our holiness, reliance on Him in our finances, reliance on Him in how people respond. Every single thing. He said, if you have too much money kept with you, you will not rely on me for blessings that you cannot buy. Because if I see money in your realm, I'm not going to give favor as well. Because you've stored up money as your favor. Personal conversations with God. Again, let's read quickly about Noah. I'll just give 2 scriptures and then I'll make a call. I'm just going to say, anyone here this afternoon who wants to escape the flood coming, come to the altar. There's a flood coming to the earth. It's going to kill many people. Many people will sink. Spark Nation will not make sense until that flood. The Bible was clear. It said they went out from among us, but they were not part of us. It said because if they were part of us, they would never have gone out from among us. 1 John. The flood will sink everybody, including Christians. For judgment must begin in the house of God. Why? He said, because my people are not serving me. They know about service to self. What did Noah do? When God found Noah, God commanded Noah to build him an ark. Noah would become, I grew up in Nigeria. I'm not necessarily from a poor family at all. And that's one of the things, if you, God has not worked in you, and people open their mouth to talk about seed, or how did he get this, how did he get that? I'm thinking, let me tell you, you live in a country that is so impoverished, but painted. Anyway, let me leave that for today. You know painted poverty? Shiny one. Polished. It's shiny. When you see that poverty, it's attractive. You embrace it. You give testimony about your first mortgage. I said, sister, let me know when you finish paying it. Come and give the testimony again. 30 years. 30 years would have been great. Because at least Jesus lived for 30 years before he became a minister or a pastor or whatever. It is the house, it's the mortgage that we see your back. It will attend your funeral. He's saying, this guy said in his mouth, he got me. And he's looking now, saying, who got who now? God will give you houses you did not build. Amen. This side, the amen is so weak, but God will build you houses you did not give. Wells you did not dig. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Why will he do these things? Are we reading Noah? First Peter. Chapter 3, verse 20. Do not bring this pulpit back. 1 Peter 3:20, quickly.
Who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah.
Hey, why did God not punish the earth quickly in the days of Noah? God was waiting for Noah's service. God, everything that we are saying would happen to the world, why has it not happened? Your service must be complete. God is looking for a soldier, Spark Nation. God is looking for an army of service people. Not talking like men in Living Stone who put women to sing all the time. Not that one, no be service, now yeah thing, then they call that one. God is looking for service, people with a servant heart. It says if we get that right, it will take care of everything that pertains to us. Because service is what shows selflessness. I imagine how much Noah put into the building of that ark. If I had time, I would have shown you the building of the ark, two tabernacles God built. The tabernacle of David, that's Solomon, and Moses' one. How the people gave to build that tabernacle. Do you know in the tabernacle of Solomon, do you know that the street, the tabernacle, the floor was pure gold? Pure gold. That's still the streets people are waiting for to walk in heaven. Solomon said, I walked with it. I walked in it. And the children of Israel who gave that offering walked in it for the work of their service. Spark Nation. If every one of us, even if we're 300 or 1,000, if every one of us adopt the art of service, we will take the nation. And we are all serving all the time. It's only that we're serving ourselves. God says, tell them the world is not a buffet. You can't eat as much as you like in this world. You're going to eat as much as he gives.
God's long suffering waited. Why? Read quickly.
Waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls were saved through water.
How many souls were saved in the days of Noah? The whole world, you know. Eight, so that there can be a marking for new beginning. Noah, you're looking for something. I will erase the whole earth. You will have eight people saved. I will give you a new chance. There's nothing to look for. This ark is the God you are looking for, the significance. And if you pay attention to this ark, this was what he began to teach me in 2005. Another scripture called Noah, one preacher of eight. First, 2 Peter 2:5. Quickly, I want to make a call. The whole earth is being consumed. This generation is being consumed with suicide. Significance, looking for. I cannot say much more about the poem that Pastor Ndidi gave this morning. I wish you will get home and listen to it again. We are the children of the millennium, and things changed in the millennium. But God is looking for servants. God said, even though I will always be in the church is the ground and the pillar of the truth. He said, but I'm looking for servants in the church that can create a movement to turn the heart of the young back to me. I'm looking for a church of people who are not status quo people, university undergraduates, who are selfless, working class people, adults that are selfless, that understand that what God asked Noah to do was to prepare an ark for the whole world, but if the whole world was going to enter or not, it's not his duty. It will be a preacher. If the world is not coming, the animals will come. But prepare an ark that can take them all. Serve me by preparing an ark. Look, it doesn't matter if Noah became a prayer warrior. It will still make no difference. The ark building was his prayer. The selfless service through preparing a place. I was saying that I grew up in a comfortable environment after a while. But I never knew selflessness fully until I came to this nation. Whatever you're looking for anywhere else, you're not going to get. It is in service. God is raising an army, and that's why I understand when some of your brothers or sisters leave you in this house, there is a demand in the world to remain selfish because that's what the world was built upon. But God is looking for a resolute army, regardless of how young or old you are, that can look at the world and say it is unacceptable for 14-year-olds to be getting pregnant because they have no fathers, and you can rise at 17 to be a real father. You're a father because you know the word, not because of experience. Don't say experience is the best teacher. I said so far as it's not your own. God is looking for an army of selfless people that nothing can stop in life. And if there is anything I've got to tell you that has brought us this far since 2005, when everybody is praying for our downfall for no reason and we keep rising, God says selflessness. So he taught me holiness through selflessness. A person, no matter how tempted you are to do something, you think about who you want to do it to and you'd say no. You don't sleep with a person because of what yourself wants now. You see, that's not a matter of holiness. It's a matter of selflessness. That's what God has assembled us together for this evening and say, if we're going to stop something in our generation, the church today, unfortunately, has become the most selfish. Why? A woman is sitting down. If the song the choir is singing does not look like what she knew and she has known for 20 years, I just don't like that balaclava thing. She doesn't care if it reaches people, you know,
All she cares is if it fits our own style. So we've got to pray for such people's graduation. Look at the way they all wear clothes and look. Do you care if it reaches people? Because it is not about how I want to look. It's not about how I want to feel. It's about, is it touching lives? Does it get young people to turn their heart to God? And people who will otherwise not check the gospel, are they beginning to look at their Bible saying, I want to be a pastor? I didn't drop law or business to come and fit into church status quo. I'd rather be a good Muslim. Yeah, but they're not born again. It is better than most people you locked up in churches. Singing the same song for 20 years. Giving the same tithe for 10 years now. And gossiping about the same person. At least if you cannot stop being a gossip, look for new souls to gossip about. It is still Mrs. A.B. All this while, you're gossiping about. Get a new soul so you can gossip. Selflessness. And so God asked us the question this morning, this afternoon, today, from Leicester University to Birmingham to Coventry to Northampton to Wolverhampton. You can take all those places to your workplace. Through selflessness. This is my final submission, Jesus. And I wanted to read a lot about Noah, but not today. It was one preacher of eight preaching to them that, look, you know what preachers do? They preach for repentance without preparing an ark. They didn't hear that one. Okay, preacher, I want to join your church. Is it an ark, though? Noah was both a preacher and a hack builder. You know what the world wants us to be? They want us to be preachers. Say, but don't build a system that can accommodate people. Don't build a system that can accommodate young people. I said, what do you want me to do? Just preach it. Just say, change your life. Then he brings his luggage and say, okay, where do I turn to? Say, no. In Jesus' name, just make sure you're a good boy. Build, preach without building an ark. Our giving makes us build an ark. And if we don't build an ark, this generation is finished. I ask you, when stuff really drops on the world, where are they going to? They are all running to you. Stagnation. Why? Because some of you might have had a dirty past, whatever that means. But you are preachers now. You know why? You took that without questioning. You had room for grace. I told you when Jesus took it from Satan, the first Adam recovered now, he breathed on his disciples. He said, all power has been given to me. You go therefore and make disciples. Spark Nation, we are not just called to win souls, we are called to make disciples. We must approach the world unapologetically and tell them if Jay-Z, if Kanye West can take a person captive, if Balmain or Polo Ralph Lauren they will take people captive, ransom. They don't say, well, just love us for who we are. We have enough money already. No, they keep releasing new clothes and people are buying it. Listen, Spark Nation, for this generation to be salvaged, you will have to rise. And I know the greatest instrument in Satan's hand is to make you feel little. But anyone who has room for grace is not small by any means. In a moment, we're going to begin to prophesy to this generation. A drought is coming. Destruction is coming. That's what my dad stood by me overnight to wear black because of. A problem is coming.
And in a moment, if you want to escape this, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. If God is calling you to selfless life, and say, well, Pastor, what do you want me to do? I'm trying to live. That's why I sell drugs. That's why I do this. Selfish you. There are selfish pastors too. Why don't you have joy? It's all about you. I wanted something, I didn't get it. You are not a child anymore. Stop throwing spiritual tantrums. You know, when people are throwing spiritual tantrums, you have to encourage them before they worship. They are first like this. The later is tantrum, like JoJo. It was grace that saved me in 2005. It was grace that I had an encounter with in 2006. It was grace in 2007 that said, take this, eat it. Whatever men do to you, when this settles in your stomach, you become today a rock. Now, whoever comes against you, well, he said, take, rise, and eat. It was grace in 2015 when it looks as if all pastors were vanishing. And I deliberately used the word vanish. It was grace that said, come with me and I'll show you deeper waters. I'm only inviting you to come on this same journey. Don't come to Spark on a Sunday and thinking, I'm not sure. My question is, what are you sure about? I've told you the whole story of my own life. There had been nothing but relationship with God. I know those two connect. Fellowship makes me powerful in heaven. Mandate makes me powerful on earth. So I say, but what's the role of human beings in that? I say, none. It will change men as it pleases. And someone walks up to you and says, will really help this work? I really then know they will not help it. No. It is not my work, it is yours. It was looking for you all this while. And I don't know what still makes you significant. Say, because they didn't recognize me, they were calling other people's name, even to sing. I'm not part of those who really, really sing. If you become part of those who really, really sing today, tomorrow you will be looking for those who really, 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 really sing. The significance you're looking for is in Christ's hand. So the more we see Jesus, he gave those apostolic ministry for the maturing of the saints so that we all come to the fullness of the knowledge of Christ. God asked me to tell you, all of you are significant for this generation. It is out of this place that the mayors will rise. It is out of this place that the financial captains will rise. It is out of this place that the politicians that will change the landscape, introduce new laws and ideologies. It is out of this place that they will rise. Can I hear an amen? It is out of this place that new African and European head of states will rise. It is out of this place. I'm already speaking about this generation. It will be a generation of the strong. It will be a generation. They were weak, but now they have been made strong. They were imperfect, but now they have been perfected. They were perfected because they have accommodation for grace. Lift up your hands and say, oh God. No, you didn't say anything. Oh Lord, I have room for grace. Still be seated. It is out of this generation that the solution to the Medicare problem that God will put in your heart. I told you yesterday, it was in your generation that footballers became so rich ridiculously. Your generation made that happen. Ah. Tech people, without your blood or your money, they will not exist. A person can have intelligence all he likes. He can write codes all he likes. Without the blood of your contribution, it won't make nothing. But you are there. You are there on Twitter. The sons of poor people are there arguing. The billionaires are there smiling. It is your generation that brought all this. And I'm saying to the church, that you will rise in your generation. You know, I'm hearing your amen, but I can't hear it, you know. Yeah, that's getting better. Because it's coming from the heart. That we prophesy over this house that there are no mediocres here. There are no failures here. There are no poverty people here. There is no lack here. Can I hear better? Amen. What do we have in this house? Innovators. Captains of industries. That is what we have in this house. I'm speaking over every son. God told Moses one day, he said, I've made you a father unto Pharaoh. God said to me this morning, I've made you a father unto this generation. So therefore, I stand with that staff and I speak to the children of the millennium. I speak to this generation. I command you to arise. Sit down still. I'm prophesying. What God wants to do with us in the next few weeks is looking for servants. Waiters. You know, Africans don't like being a waiter. It's like, no, I'm just here for a while. No, it's the greatest training. It's looking for people with servant's heart. And I'm going to pray for 500 people for next Sunday. We are back here next Sunday. But we need more souls. And what I'm asking for is servants, service people, service. I don't need pastors, I need service. I don't need evangelists. I need people who can serve. Because there will be gifts. And in a moment we begin to prophesy. Arise this generation. You know why God asked me to arise? Some of you, he showed me many of you overnight. You're saying I'm part of this generation. God said, look at her. And I saw a queue behind her. It says she's not part of this generation. She's part of her dad's generation. Imagine living your dad's life. You know those anger that comes on you and you say, oh, it's just not. No, it's your dad coming. He just came to visit so that he can take you back. But today, by the power that is in the blood of Jesus, none of you will belong to a wasted generation. Thank you for that. Amen. None of you will belong to a wasted generation. When you walk out of this service, a new light will rise over your life and this generation will arise. Whilst the world is busy celebrating newcomers into the tech world, newcomers into football, Abby is 18, 19, right? 16 football, new arrivals. The older ones are fading away. New people are coming in tech, in banking. Even the world now is celebrating presidents of nations in their 30s. Guess what the church is doing? The church is saying we are losing young people. And still, if you see a spark nation, you see, I don't get it. But you are losing them. If we don't step out of here today with a holy anger, to say the brothers on the street, did you read what I read to you on Periscope yesterday? A 16-year-old guy who saw myself and Izzy Steven in a dream. And he said, please come and save me before I get into this life deeper. A 16-year-old that is already on trial for possession of firearms, grievous bodily harm, or whatever that thing is, and robbery at 16. Of course, I know our parents don't train us to hear these things because it's none of their business until they lose a son, then they are crying. So you hypocrite, you are here crying, but when other people's children were crying out, it was none of your business. You went to your church, you clapped, you danced, you did first Sunday dancing around the basket. You had doctrines that didn't help you, but you were there until you had to cry. Many more mothers will have to cry because they did not cry when other people's blood was shed on the street.
the church will cry because the church is sticking to religion instead of standing up for what is new. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. God is going to raise you beyond your own effort, beyond your own power. Who am I talking to this afternoon? But you, I need that scripture. Those who want to escape, those who are here this afternoon, and you want to escape the life that is behind you. I'm making two calls this afternoon. I don't care if the service is taking long. Burial ceremonies take long. We went to one the other day. We had to go in the cold. And I was helping pour sand on the casket. And a week before the guy died, I saw him in church. He was halfway in church, halfway out. And I said, when are you going to just embrace this life? He was saying 1 month. He was going to die in a week. He said, in a month's time, everything will be fine. I'll really now get into this Spark Nation thing. Satan was rejoicing, saying, no, he's going to die anyway. Mothers are there crying. Said, because you were locked up in your church. And if you're still here this afternoon and something tells you, well, that's not really your business. You will raise good children and you'll be fine. Yes, it's hereditary. Like Pastor Ndidi said, they passed it down to you. Selfishness is in the black man's blood. Wickedness is in the white man's one. Really, I shouldn't say that. That will be on Daily Mail Plus. If you want to escape that life, and you're saying, look, whatever this selflessness means, whatever it takes to get into service with God, look at you. The guy said he's 16, he's just trying to make money. You don't need money at 16. Okay? What you need is life. But if you keep doing the wrong thing, you will die anyway. You won't, and you will never make the money. Your elders have not made the money. If they've made it, they won't need you. Your elders are just as poor as you. And to our sisters as well, you want to escape depression, unstable mindedness. I want to make a call, and it's just for a few people. There is power in the blood, but we've got to embrace the finished work of Christ. I want to close this service. I've got three assignments. In the moment, I'm just going to keep prophesying. We're not going to pray. And you'll be shouting amen. Because many of you will have to rise. This generation will prosper. Amen. There are fathers and senior brothers in this realm now. This new generation starts from today. Yeah. Can I hear a better amen from the back? Yeah. This generation of rising stars, unstoppable, like Reverend said this morning. This generation starts from today. The funeral of the murderous generation is today. We're going to bury that generation. And a generation of prosperous young people will love God. And you, let me tell you, the ultimate of all this for me, that we're getting houses for people, is Christ, you know. Is that the church must have mouth in the community and the committee of nations. The church will not always be the one losing people when the world is gaining people. That Christ will not sneak out of this world like a defeated foe. But rather, it will reign through you. It will reign in you. His name will ring the bell everywhere. When you get to restaurants that are opulent, high standard hotels, you see the head of Buddha everywhere. I don't know when last you've gone to a 5-star hotel and you see the cross of Jesus with. No way. That one, they put it across side poverty. The Lord is the host of this house, an unseen guest in every dinner. Then you know the living room is not posh. How many of you grew up to see those the unseen guests in all dinner? Then you know it's not. But when you reach opulence, you see Buddha's head. Now your generation will reverse that. I reject that amen, sir. I said your generation will reverse that. Christ will be a sin owner in every high place, because every high thing must come down, every mountain will crash. You are the generation that will crash the financial world. Can I hear a big amen? Thank you. You were the victor's cry. The high thing of depression, suicide, poverty that has held this generation. Guess what day they are going to be buried? High things that has held this generation bound. Today, we command their funeral, because all power in heaven and on earth has been given. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold that has held this generation bound, that has held the church bound, we declare today is your end in our midst. Listen, be seated. You want to escape the judgment of this generation. You want to find that significance. I want you to live where you are, and it is today you make a decision for the Lord. It's either Satan or the Lord. I want the air cleared now.